Democracy in Action, a program on how a state functions, featuring in-depth discussions with experts on governance, politics, and decision-making. Tune in as every week we explore the complexities of governance. What is democracy? What is your role as a citizen? All these and more in Democracy in Action, Thursday at 9 a.m. with a repeat at 9 p.m. the same day. Stay informed and engage with Democracy in Action on Radio Miraya, the voice of peace.
Hello, welcome to Democracy in Action with me, Sunny Martin. In our today's episode, we are going to be discussing about good governance for achieving a sustainable development and improve the lives of the citizens of this country. That's what we are going to be discussing here. And why is good governance critical for a country like South Sudan that has experienced a conflict for a very long time after gaining independence in 2011? And what are the basic principles of good governance? And joining me to discuss all this plus many more, I am joined here by Professor Julia Akerduan, the chairperson of Council of South Sudan Women's Union, and she has held a lot of titles or posts in the government in the past. She was also the undersecretary in different ministries, parliamentary affairs, and also former VC of Dr. John Garang Memorial University of Science and Technology in Jonglei State, plus many more. And she is also an educator academia. Our lines will be open to you shortly, where you can call and ask her about this discussion or the topic we are discussing today, which is about good governance and its principles and how is it applicable in our context of South Sudan. That's what we are going to be looking here at. Our lines always as usual, 091206-7879 or 091206-7929. You can also send us your comment to our SMS number, 091-2177-141. My name is Sunny Martin, and let me take this chance to welcome Professor Julia. You are most welcome to Radio Miraya. It has been a long time.
Yeah, thank you very much, Sunny Martin. It has been a long time.
Okay.
And thank you to the viewers out there ready to listen to us.
Somebody will be asking, you have not been active. What is Professor doing?
I have not been active openly, mm-hmm. but on my own corner.
Okay.
I've been doing a lot of writings, and also I've been engaged at the university teaching, giving some teaching classes.
Here in Juba or Jonglei?
Here in Juba.
Okay.
I also have an NGO, Women Leadership Gender Equity and Women Leadership Program, so that we raise money to be able to sponsor women who want to become academicians.
Okay.
So this is where I have been doing my thing, yeah.
Okay, quietly. Yeah. Now, let's zero into our discussion today, the issue of good governance. You know, every South Sudanese is yearning to have a better life. No one wants to suffer. There's nobody here who wants to have his life complicated. Every country is striving to have good governance and all its principles. But just let us try to put it into context. In your own perspective, what do you mean by good governance, and why is it very important for a country like South Sudan?
Yeah, thank you very much. good governance, you know, you first look at the system. What is governance in the first place? The governance is how you organize your institutions so that you can be able to provide services to your people. And good governance is guided by rule of law, freedom for all, and service delivery to the people. So as a state, you look at the state. The state, you look at it as an organization, how the organization organizes itself. So you build the institutions. You establish the institution. So good governance doesn't come if you have not organized your institutions.
Mm-hmm.
And these institutions are the apparatus that provide the services to the people. And for me, and most of my field work and things, I do it very simple. Because if you go to academic definitions and all these things, it will not. But I will do it simply for a lay person.
Yeah.
Good governance is four pillars.
Four pillars.
Four pillars. How you can organize yourself as a state to have a good governance in your. One pillar is the political pillar, you create stability for the country. And to create stability for the country, it's not like a country like us. You have to have rule of law. You have to have a democracy, which it means that you have to engage the people to be able to choose their own leaders.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make sure that everybody is equal in front of the law.
So no one is above the law?
Nobody is above the law. Even the man in the mirror, the one at the top.
Yeah.
Yeah. If anything happens, the law is there to guide them. So the challenge for most of the country is that if rule of law is upgraded, then people will not be able, you know, to be comfortable, because it is law that guides us. Setting up the government, that pillar within the political system, this is where now you set up the government in three levels. You have the executive, you have the judiciary, and then you have the parliament.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the parliament is the voice of the people. The judiciary, it keeps us intact. So that when things want to go disarray in disorder, the judiciary bring us back.
Mm-hmm.
This is what the law says.
And that administer justice.
Yeah, and administer justice. And then the executive, these are institutions to provide the services to the people. They are the one we see that what are the needs, what are the programs. What is needed?
Yeah. Water, electricity, roads, and all this.
All these things, they do all this program, which they send to the parliament, and the parliament will then agree with them, you know, give the budget, and be able to implement. So that one pillar there.
The political pillar.
The political pillar, which is stability, rule of law, democracy, you know, and setting up an organization which is called government.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then you come to the second pillar. The second pillar now is how you organize your resources, economics. You know, we have also many resources in our country. They have to be organized. You say you have the land.
Mm-hmm.
Before you go under it. You have the land, you have the animals, you have the trees. These are all resources. The domestic and wild animals you have water.
Yeah.
And everything that is on the land. Then you go under the land, which is you have the oil, you have the minerals, you have. These are resources. Is how you can organize. Those resources are the one now take you to the third pillar.
Mm-hmm.
To the third pillar, where executive now have to figure out socio-economic development for the country. Then you have, you know, agriculture. You have to develop agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
You have to, you know, education, health, infrastructure, clean water, all those needs of the communities, of the people. Now you organize them.
Mm-hmm. Under development.
Under development. Because you have resources, your resources address your challenges. The challenges are socioeconomic development. So you have stability, you have mobilization of your resources. Now you have to address your challenges, which is now the resources have to pay for education, have to pay for this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those are the three pillars. The last pillar is social and justice issues. You know, for you to have a compassionate country, to have a country which cares about its people, you have to know you have your weaker population.
Yeah.
So when you say weaker population, you know, like women, they are not weak because, but they have been left behind.
Yeah.
So you have to bring them up. You have young people. You need to build your young people so that they can be your replacement in the future. So you have to build their capacity. And then don't forget also, you know, the weak population, with your elderly people who have served before you, who have done all.
These are the senior citizens.
These are senior citizens, like me.
Yeah.
You know, like now, I should be retired and be at home only to go regularly to
and
go
get your pension.
And get my pension and get my services, get my health care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are justice issues that the state has to take.
All
become
right.
A compassionate country.
Right.
And then people with disabilities, don't forget about them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because they're part and part of the population. So if you organize your state into
four pillars,
you will be able to address the good governance you are looking for.
Where does South Sudan, does South Sudan meet all these four pillars? As a country right now, do you think all these four pillars are applicable, or is it possible for this to be manifested in this country?
Yes. You know, we can be able to manifest them in this country. I remember before 2011, they formed a committee by Ministry of Cabinet Affairs to have a vision for South Sudan.
Mm-hmm.
We dropped it. I won one of the.
Is it the Vision 2040?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Vision 2040, which was talking about this, how we can organize our state in these pillars. We call them the tools of nation building.
Mm-hmm.
If you organize your vision under these pillars, you will be able to have good governance. But for South Sudan, since we have seven pillars, the two came from reconstruction from the war.
Mm-hmm. Under the Vision 2040.
Yeah, under the Vision of 2040. That would make them to be, you know, we add three more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, rehabilitation of the...
On top of these four pillars you mentioned.
On the top of these four pillars. So we created three more pillars so that we can be able to set up our... But since that time, Vision 2040 has not been officially endorsed by the government so that we know exactly where we are heading to.
Mm-hmm. Mm. You were in the government by then. What happened?
You know, it was presented to the executive, and it was supposed to be taken to the parliament.
Mm.
We don't know where it ended after that.
Okay. And now you have mentioned these four pillars of... good governance, the principles and all this. And now let us talk about the issue of the principles of transparency, accountability. How does it help a country to prevent issues to do with corruption and also build public trust?
Two things. One, there has to be a law. Accountability. If you want people to be transparent and public servant. You know, being a public servant is not your own, you know, making.
Mm-hmm.
You are an employee of the people. You are, you know, you are trusted to say, here, Mama Julia, go and be an undersecretary to the people of South Sudan, mm-hmm. to serve them, is a duty.
You should be there to serve, but not the other way around.
Not the other way around. Like what we do in the offices here, mm-hmm. we think that, you know, the people are serving us.
Mm-hmm.
It's like somebody will come to the office, you say, hi, itagi jamin went, kalakala samshi. It's all day I could eat of a maktabda. It is this person who will put you in that office. So accountability.
So the people are the bosses.
The people are the bosses. Our bosses are the citizens of South Sudan.
And they should be accountable to the people.
And we should be, those who are employees of the government, should be accountable to the government. So if the rule of law is not strong enough to punish those who misbehave in public, in the public, misuse the public resources, or even, misuse in the public places, like drunk, you get drunk and you be on the street beating up people. You are making disorder. If that law is not there for you to be accountable for to your own action, then there will be chaos.
Yeah. Professor, some people will be asking, before we come to the role of the citizen in this good governance, some people will be asking, in our context right now, the powers have been taken away from the people because the leaders can become accountable if they are elected. Ever since South Sudan got independence 14 years ago, up to today, no election. You have seen, at least now, communities are trying to come up and begin saying, okay, here, we can organize the election peacefully without any problem. Mm-hmm. So don't you think the issue of powers not being given to the people so that they elect their own preferred leaders to represent them at different levels of government is the problem?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is a problem because we have refused to set up systems.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry to say that. We have said, yes, here is the system, but the system are very flawed. They are not really strong enough to stand, let's say institutions are very weak. So if we are not, if we don't set up a strong state by following these things, especially rule of law, so that when you are, say you are 4 years in the parliament, you have to go for elections. Now we have the election commission. What is the work of election commission? It has been there since we have the election of Sudan. We have not had election for South Sudan.
Mm-hmm. Since
2010. That should have been a priority of the government to make sure that, this election commission should have been empowered so that they can be able to run election for us. We have not done that.
If I am to be the government spokesperson, I will tell you that how do you conduct election when some people in this country are not willing to go for election? We have been in a war for a long time. This is the challenge the country is facing.
Because we'll go to the war because people are not happy. Some people are not happy. Other people are happy. But if you really want a country, you have to create that stability first. We are talking about. And stability is peace, community to community. People to people peace process should have been there. There are things that the government should not even bother because we have the layers of the government already.
Yeah.
We have the national government and we have the local government. The local government is in charge of the local issues. Transference of power to the local, to the lower level. So what is the work of the commissioner? What is the work of the governor? It is not the national government to get into because we have given the powers to the states. But those powers are not have not been delegated to the lower level. If you go now today to see the commissioner to see the commissions, commissioner in the county. It lets the capacity, to be able to run that county. You come to the states are not empowered enough to be able to run those states.
Yeah.
So our challenge really has been the issues of the system. The institutions are very weak.
Okay, and what role do you think the citizens can play in shaping policies and holding leaders accountable when it comes to good governance in this country?
You know, if we stay as individual, those democracies you see around the world is mobilization of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have the churches, they organize themselves. You have the youth, they organize themselves. You have, you know, farmers, they organize themselves. You know, you have, you name it, the laborers, the what?
Civil society, those civil, academia.
Yeah, academia. Those small organizations are what empowered the voices of the people to be able to address their challenges, to address that, you know, to be able to face the government, to say, you know what, here and here things are not going right. We need this and we need that. But if the citizens have not that capacity to organize and be able to, you know, to know their rights,
mm-hmm.
and their issues, so that they can address them with the government, there will be a challenge.
Okay.
There will be a challenge.
All right. If you have just joined us right now, you are listening to Democracy in Action with me, Sunny Martin, and my guest today is Professor Julia Kerr Duan, Chairperson, Council of South Sudan Women's Union, and we are looking at the principles of good governance, and she has given us a lot about the pillars of good governance, political pillars, economic resources, development, social justice, and she also talked about the Vision 2040 for this country. You have heard from her. Our lines will be open to you shortly, where you can call us on 091-206-7879 or 091-206-7929. You can also send us a comment to our SMS number 091-2177-141. Those are all our lines. You can get in touch with us here and ask your question.
Antum tastami'una ila Radio Miraya.
Yes, our lines are now open. You can call us and be part of our discussion. We do have a couple of SMS coming in here. I'll also be reading some of them. Hello, Radio Miraya. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, your name?
Yes, my name is James Dikeli.
Hello?
Mark James Dikeli.
Okay. I think we have some kind of a network problem. Hello? Hello?
Yes, sir, Martin.
Yes, your name? Okay, go ahead.
Thank you so much. I do appreciate and welcome the guys in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, my question was very straight. Actually, they narrated all the evidence. And my question was going to them, exactly what are the principles that are standing today and they come to the studio to tell the public that we are going to narrate it 1, 2, 3. As you mentioned, dear.
Okay, I think we do have some network problem. Yes, we have a couple of SMS coming in here. This is coming from Mawa Robert from Ye River County of Central Kotori State, and he says, "What is the role of?" What do you think a governor who is running a state can do in order to achieve the four pillars you have mentioned earlier? The role of governance in implementing the four pillars you mentioned earlier. Another SMS here is coming in from Jackson in Juba here. It says, Professor, I am impressed by your explanation, and I'm also surprised to learn that the Vision 2040, which I've heard in many occasions, have never been endorsed by the government. That is not my point, but my point right now is the country is stuck. We are not moving anywhere. The political instability in the country is causing a lot of mayhem to us as citizens. What is the best way of getting out of this political stalemate we are in? That's from Jackson here in Monique. Another SMS is coming in from Deng, and Deng is writing from Tomping, Jubanabari, and he says, thank you so much, Professor, for explaining for us the pillars. The question he's asking, what are the roles of the three level of government you mentioned earlier in implementing these principles of good governance? That's from Deng here in Juba. Yes, Professor.
Let me start with Deng. The role of the executive,
the parliament, judiciary,
the three stones. They said when you are cooking,
you have three stones.
Yeah. So when we are cooking the government, we have to have the three stones.
Yeah.
Yeah. The role of the executive actually is to organize the programs, the policies of how to govern the state. That is the role of the executive. The role of the judiciary is the law is to keep, order. All these policies now will be interpreted by the judiciary to make sure that nobody breaks them. The role of parliament is to oversee the two arms of the government. So if we say we have not gone for election since 20, we have not, let's forget about the election of Sudan.
Yeah.
And we have not gone for election.
Since 20, we were supposed to have election 2015. Yeah.
But we
there was conflict, yes.
Yeah, we messed it up. Yeah. So if we don't elect our representative, which will be the voices of the people, then we have a challenge. Like today, we have so many members of parliament. Mm-hmm. 550?
Yes.
550.
Mm-hmm.
How many constituencies do we have? How many of them go back to their constituencies? So these 550 have not generated from the constituencies. So there is a challenge there. We have a parliament which has the mandate, mm-hmm. the strong mandate from the people.
These are appointed MPs based on agreement.
So it is agreement which is guiding us. So the best way, what would be the best way to get out,
mm-hmm.
is to make sure these institutions are strengthened. And to strengthen them is that we start with the parliament. People have to go for election.
Mm-hmm.
So that we be able to elect our representative. I've been one of the people who have been pushing one of the article to be put in the constitution,
mm-hmm.
recalling back your members of parliament. If you have elected a member of parliament and you have gone in and have not come back,
mm-hmm.
and have not done the work for the constituencies, the members of the constituency
have the mandate to recall.
Yeah, they have the mandate to say, you come back.
Mm-hmm.
You are not doing the thing we are supposed, you are supposed to do.
You are not representing us well.
You are not representing us well. So that parliament would have been very strong, like an iron,
mm-hmm.
because they know that they have a backing and they know where they are coming.
So if you don't deliver, you will not come back in the next election.
If you don't deliver, you are out. Yeah. So, and human beings are human beings. There is a stick and carrot. If you are not really, you are not really being guided and being watched, you can float out from your doing good things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that one thing we have to get this country out, and I think if our government can accept to organize election, for us to be able to get us out to the next step, so that whoever is elected,
mm-hmm.
Has a backing where they come from, and they will know what are the issues of those communities. This rampant fighting in the communities, if the constituencies are there, the members of parliament will have a voice with their people, and they can listen.
Okay.
And they can listen.
All right.
Yeah, the governors,
mm-hmm.
the governors are, are the one in charge of the state.
Yeah.
They are the one supposed to implement the program from the national level to the lower level. So they are the one now, like what kind of programs the states would need. Yeah, because all the states are different. They have different. Let's say if we take a state of Jonglei. State of Jonglei has issues of flood and all these things. If you go to Western Equatoria, there's no flood. Their issues will be some kind of diseases and things like that. So those programs are the programs the states are supposed to implement. They are initiated by the executive, and then they are sent to the states, and then the state will be able to implement those programs to their states. So the governor has a power to see that their state are stable. Institutions that has been established are there to keep law and order, to be able to provide development programs. The governors are supposed to do that. But these days, where are our governors? They are just in their own little state. Mm-hmm. You are here for 3 months, 4 months. You are out. Somebody has come. So, you know, so everybody is... He's not secure to where...
Somebody was joking that every evening, all these government officials, they watch the SSBC.
Yeah, the most...
If the first 5 minutes, there's no decree, they will say, okay, thank God.
The most time watching SSBC is from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock. Okay. There's nothing there.
Okay. You survive for the next day.
Yeah.
You can still call us on 091-206-7879. And ask your question to Professor Julia, and we are discussing about the principles of good governance in our country, South Sudan, given the challenges this country is going through at the moment. And she says the only way to get out of this political stalemate is through election. And elections are scheduled for 2026 December next year, just not very far from now. You can call us and ask your question. Hello. Hello.
Yes, hello.
Your name?
Yeah, you are speaking to Abdullah Lalik from Jebel Dinka.
Okay, go ahead, Lalik.
Actually, I appreciate the topic. My question to the guest is, since we got our independence, actually she has mentioned that there is no election conducted after today. And if I can see from the level of the national up to the Payam, it's only a degree. For how long shall we continue receiving our leaders using degree? Because I can see degrees are the one messing us. Somebody that community don't recognize and don't like will be brought in by degree. And he's not performing his duty because he was brought by the powers of the top leadership. Now, how do we expect actually a good governance from there?
Okay.
So this is my question.
All right. Thank you so much. From Jebel Dinka. Yes, Professor.
Yeah, Abdullah is right. You know, as I said at the beginning, we have the challenge of weak institutions. You know, for a government to function, institutions that are set up are for decision making. They are made for to keep the law and order. The institution I made that to implement programs for the government. So if our institutions are not very strong to be able to do their work, like today we have civil servants who are not being paid. You say if you have election commission is there and you are not paying their people for 1 month, for 1 year, what is that institution going to be strong enough? It is not going to be strong enough. So for Abdullah, I know we are all in this, as South Sudanese. Public service law and regulations are there. If we follow the real laws of the institutions, you know, appointing commissioner, appointing directors, they are not at the level of the president. They are supposed to be at the level to be governed by the law of public service.
Is it not the agreement that mandates role to be implemented?
Yeah, it is because now all these institutions are stand still.
Yeah,
they are not functioning, and they are not functioning well. They are weak. So the government is using, the agreement to be able to appoint these people.
Okay.
So for South Sudanese, for us really to build a country, to build a state, let us have audacity to calm down. Instead of running up and down, fighting here and there, let us sit down and see, so that we can be able to elect our leaders.
Mm-hmm.
So the people can be able to go for election and be able to elect our leaders.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And there is another question here coming in from Ulwal, and he's writing from Bor, and he says, where are the voices of the academia in this good governance issue? They are mute, they have not been talking, and in other countries they are supposed to be the think tank to be consulted and write papers on some of the issues happening in the country, but for our case, they are not at the forefront.
Yes, you may not be hearing our voice, the academics, but we are writing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Most of our writings, they are there. If you come to the university, if you go to some of the websites, you will see some of the writings from most of our academics people. But as I said before, if we don't organize as people of South Sudan, you know, all these things will not function, will not function. So organization is what will get us out of this mess. So to Lual, the academicians are not organized, but they are writing as individuals.
But the impact is not being felt.
The impact is not being felt. But
what more do you think they can do so that at least they steer some kind of conversation towards good governance in this country?
Like the political scientist has to come out very, very clearly with articulation of where we are heading, where we are heading to. We have the Institute of Peace
now, the University of Juba.
University of Juba. That should take up that pillar and be able really to redirect. The thing is that.
But the last time Dr. Luka Biang tried to speak up.
But you got in trouble because, you know, sometimes political landscape is a little shaky.
Yeah.
So if you step too hard, you can sing.
Okay.
But you have to find
ways. Has that created or instilled some kind of fear in some of the academicians who like to speak up?
Exactly. You know, some of the people may not like, you know, the spotlight.
Mm.
But some of us who are open-minded.
Yeah. I see you normally write on your page on Facebook.
My Facebook, I'm there on my, you know, some of the...
Is the fear not...
No, the...
You don't fear?
You know, when you are telling the truth, you cannot fear. Because if you really take sides...
Even people have spoken the truth before.
Yeah. If you take sides, you want to cover up here, you want to cover up there, then you can be able to fear. But for us to tell the truth, because this country is ours. This is it. Mm-hmm. This is South Sudan. We are not going anywhere. So for somebody like me, why would I fear?
Okay.
I would like to say is that what will get us out of this mess. That's what I will say.
Beside the weak institutions you talked about before, what is the biggest challenge when it comes to democracy and good governance in this country?
The big challenge for democracy is that when you don't allow the people opinions. People opinions matter.
Mm-hmm.
Media is very important to educate the public, so that they know the issues, the left hand to the right hand. But if you closed the environment, you closed the space, then people will be ignorant and we will be in trouble. So the biggest thing to do is open space so that the voices of the people are heard, because if we don't talk and we don't see what will be the best way for us to get out, and South Sudanese are not talking, then we will not be able to get ourselves out.
And moving forward, as we conclude, what practical steps can communities and the government take all together to strengthen fairness, inclusivity, and responsiveness in good governance in this country?
One thing, Sunny Martin, is first of all, we start with our own government. Honesty. If we are not honest with our people, we will have a challenge. Integrity. If our systems, our institutions don't have integrity, there will be a challenge. Objectivity, accountability, openness, and leadership. These are hard qualities of how a state or a country can be trusted by their own people. And once the people trust the government, once the people trust the government, they will support that government all the time. But if there is a broken of trust with the people, then there is a challenge. And that's why we have so many. We have so many challenges in the country.
Okay. Professor Julia, we thank you so much for coming today to our studio and sharing your opinion. I think we have learned a lot about the four pillars and also the three more. You said it was added during the debate on the 2040 vision and all this. We hope. Where is the document now? Do you have any idea?
I have the copy of the document, but I don't know where the document.
Which minister was in charge? Which ministry?
Ministry of Cabinet Affairs.
Ministry of Cabinet Affairs. Okay.
That was the time of Luke Obiang.
Okay. we will follow up on that document and find out what happened.
You know, people have been quoting it, Vision 2040, here and there, here and there. But
is it different from the SPLM vision or these are the same?
Different from SPLM vision.
Okay.
This is the South Sudan Vision 2040. It was supposed to sail us out from 2011 up to 2040. And if we have followed that vision.
Where do you think this country will be now? If we had followed that vision.
If we had followed that vision right now, we will be the divide of Africa. Everybody, we would have developed this. Our resources would have developed this land. Now our resources are developing other countries. We could have known exactly where to put our penny. We would have known exactly who, exactly what to do.
Is it late or we can still pick
up? It is not too late. It is not too late. For me, it is not too late. If we can grasp it today, and I am talking to my colleagues, if we can grasp it today, bring it back, and revitalize it.
Okay.
I
hear revitalize it. Thank you so much, Professor, for coming to our studio. We appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And that brings us to the end of our episode of Democracy for Action this week. We were looking at the basic principles of good governance in our context of South Sudan. And we thank you so much for listening. My name is Annie Martin. Stay tuned.